second chapter. And we'll just preach till we're done. We ain't got no message. We just got a scripture. But Brother Ryan, if I hear Brother Collins clearing his throat, I'll know it's time to close. Hallelujah. Hey, Mark, go back there in that room and get me some water. They got cups back here. Let's go into verse 5 in Luke chapter 2. Well, we can go to verse 4 to tell the story better. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. This is, of course, the Christmas story. And out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing. I'm getting into my text now. And see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You know, you can know about something, and you can hear everybody tell the story, but until you experience for yourself. That's what I liked about, I'll just mark that right there and just start. Might as well start preaching right there. And that's a good place to start. And it's going on 3 years ago that I went to a Christmas Eve party, and my brother-in-law got healed. He was having so much trouble with his back, and I was asking God why in the world they call on me to pray. But Brother Ronnie, I'd been praying for months. God let me see a healing take place, and it wasn't in my timetable. It wasn't when I was expecting it. And these guys probably thought it was just going to be another night out here in the field. But you know what? They got disturbed that night. And after the angel told them all the glory, they said, well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. And that's one thing about it. I always thought this. You'd all know what I've been telling since I was been over in Bedford. I just came back from preaching over there. Well, guess what I was telling everybody? I wasn't telling everybody that God hears prayer but answers never comes along and answers. But I was telling everybody that we had prayed and obeyed God, and still small voices spoke to us. And now I could lay my eyes upon an answered prayer and been drowning all over. I mean, I was happy. Brother Bill Johnson, they was laughing some, crying some. We just had a great time. I was telling what I had seen God do with these eyes, and what I know God had done because I was his child. And these shepherds said, we've been told now, but let us go to Bethlehem ourselves. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. If you could just get people to move when God's speaking, when they feel the tug, if you could just get people to move out, why do they want to drag? Why do they want to come in? Not wanting to have church. I thought somebody this morning said it right. They want people to entertain them. They want the preacher to preach them high. But they never want to lift a hand and praise God. They never want to give forth a testimony. I'm sorry, but brothers and sisters, if God answered your prayer, I want to hear about it. If God's done something for you, I want to hear about it. I went down Monday night before I went to Indiana and heard Brother Mike Roberts preach. And before I preached, they got me up and my wife to sing. And you guess what I testified about? I told them standing out there in that ground on that hot day at their church dedication, God spoke to my heart living by faith to make a $100 pledge to their church building. And I said, God, I'm living by faith. He said, well, I'll make a way. So I started paying them just like I paid my bills, Brother Pete. I just laid my pledge out just like I do my bills. And God so far has made a way. I started telling that church what God done for us by down the road in Texas. God given us. Some people said I didn't make myself clear the other day. I don't have one payment on that thing. I could have afforded a payment. I could have afforded to make a payment on it. But that wasn't God's plan. I obeyed God, and I've got a clear title on a $12,500 motorhome with a brand new motor on it. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God answers prayers. God works. And I had hasted my steps, ready to tell a story that God was still able to help people if they just be obedient to Him. I was ready to tell the story. I was ready. I was excited. Excited, excited, excited. We got over in Bedford, and we was at the youth rally. They have them on Monday nights there. It was a youth rally or fellowship meeting anyway. They had Brother Kevin Lord preaching. Great service. And a sister caught us at the back door and said, I've already heard how God blessed you and moved and gave you all motorhome. I said, what? She said, yeah, I heard the tape on it. And then she said, Sister Todd had called and told her, hey, let me tell you, I don't know. I think sometimes God, you bless me with something that's material, but it just lets people have faith to know that God will answer prayer. It builds people's faith. Brother Bradley, his wife walked around our motorhome, and she was so enthused by it, and she was saying, miracle, miracle, miracle. She said, tell the story, tell the story. Well, I'm a storyteller, and I love to tell them. Glory to God. I can tell you what God done for Vance Handler. I can tell you what God done for George Mueller. But the best thing I can tell you is what God done for Mike Barker. Because that's my testimony. That's my story. That's my wonderful gift that God gave to me. And He can do the same for you. Said, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Oh, that's the wonder. That's the glory. We've got a lot of things that's a glittering. Brother Dale, man, just drive them down the roads. Every place you look, they're sparkling. Everything looks pretty. Norma says I'm a humbug. I'm not really. But I don't get caught up in the world spirit. I don't. They was on the radio the other day saying some unwed mother is going to feel sorry for children. She's going to put herself in debt to try to buy a little bit of happiness. And then come February or March, it's going to be the sad story. The bills come rolling in. Now they're farther in debt. Hey, I thank God for everything we're able to give our children. But the best thing we can tell them is the wonderful story that Jesus came into this world. A Savior. Glory to God. A Savior was born to save men from their sins. That's the greatest story. That's the greatest hope. That's the greatest life, is to live for Him. And they was ready to tell the story abroad, saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And here's what's been on my heart for the last few days. I'll probably study it out a little bit more. But I told Brother Collins, I peeled through his books back there, gleaning everything I could. I got a big thick briefcase over there. I traded Brother Collins one of my books for a nice big thick briefcase. I've got it over there. But Brother Burns, I just felt like the best thing I could do when I walked into this dark church about an hour and a half ago. I told Norma, I said, I'm going to church. I want to hear from God. I know we could visit a church somewhere, but my children want to be here and be fed. My wife wants to be here and be fed. I need to be fed. And I thought, Brother Collins, the best thing I could do was just close the books and just magnify my Lord and have a season of prayer. And I love to pray to tapes singing and piano music. Some of you heard it when I came in. But glory to God, I love to get caught up in prayer, talking to my Lord, thanking Him for what He's done for me and what He's going to do, and having victory in my soul. Here's what it said. But Mary kept all these things. Now, not only was this on my heart before I came to the play last night, but somebody said the same thing about Mary, pondering those things. Pondered them in her heart. Mary pondered them in her heart. Over in verse 25, and beheld there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Or Simon, however you pronounce that. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Wasn't he here this morning? I was looking at one person sitting back there in the back. I was praying. They kept saying, sing, Mike, sing. I knew my voice wasn't going to help that song that much. But I was praying, God, let the Holy Ghost move on this one couple. After a while, Sister Burns, I seen them grab hands. Thank God for a church where the Holy Ghost moves and hovers around and people move out. Glory to God, the Spirit. And they don't care what people think about Him. But they lift their hands towards God and they begin to cry out, we're in need, God. We need You tonight. And I seen that lip quivering. And I said, He's getting help. Thank God He's getting help. Brother Rick Bradley, they kept trying to get me to preach and testify this morning. I appreciate them asking me to obey God. But I was obeying God by praying for the ones that God was using. And I went down to Brother Rick. God was all over him. I said, you got this thing moving. I said, I've got nothing on my heart burning. I said, I've got a few things to say, but I'm so afraid of the killing this spirit and grieving the Holy Ghost. I said, Brother Rick, if God's not done dealing with you, do me a favor and obey God, because there are souls here that need to hear the story, and the Holy Ghost is moving upon you. You're just a divine man, and now let Him use you as a vessel. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Me and Brother Burns was talking this morning. And I like talking to our elders. I'm telling you, I love this old-fashioned Pentecostal way. And I like talking to our elders who's made some bridges, made some paths straight, and made it a little bit easier. They didn't always have padded pews here in this church to sit on. They didn't always have all the nice things. It may have been in another building, but this church body didn't always have these nice things. But somebody came before us, Brother Ronnie, that we might come along. You know why? Because they had a desire to see a church, and see a church tell the story of Jesus' love for a dying and a damned world. And they had a desire to make a place where sinners could come and devout men for the Holy Ghost would let the Holy Ghost use them, and they'd be a witness. And Brother Burns was talking to me this morning, and he was telling me how he loves the old-fashioned Pentecostal services. And I was telling him I love them too. And we had a long talk back and forth. And he said, Brother Mike, the Bible either says it or it don't. And Brother Burns, that's what we got to live by. Ain't it right? I mean, it ain't that we're being hard. But brothers and sisters, there's a young man in this church that just prayed through and got rid of his television. And he said, Brother Mike, I feel so free. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he's found something more beautiful than what a television could give you. He's found the glory of God and the Spirit alive in him, and he's felt the witness of the Holy Ghost. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after him the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We've seen it, ain't we? We've seen it, ain't we? Maybe maybe you just ain't as happy as I am, but my wife was talking. She said, Brother Mike, Oh, she didn't say brother. She just said Mike. You call me brother. But she said, Mike, people get tired of having everybody with a humdrum story and dragging their jaw and everything so bad. And I've been as guilty as everybody else. But brothers and sisters, we've got to go to the Word and realize we're on the winning side. And we've got Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will always be there for us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm telling you what, though the trial may be hard, God will bring you through. I enjoyed the sister testimony this morning. She's facing a storm, but she found a rainbow in that storm. And you know what that rainbow is? That's Jesus Christ. It's a hope in the darkest hour. It's hope when everything seems black all around. It's someone we can cry to in the midst of the storm. And He'll come and find us. Hallelujah. You know, it says on down, verse 31, it says, verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And then in verse 47 it says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understandings and answers. See, Jesus was in the temple there with the men. Said he was there inside the temple and was... discussing the Word, and let me find where I'm at now. I've lost the place. And said that over in, and they found him not, and they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass after these days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all they had heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? For wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Here it is, Mary again. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I want to just close the Bible and preach a little while now. I won't go over. By the help and grace of God, I won't. But brothers and sisters, we've got a glorious Savior. And Brother Dale, the other day I was out, I think I was in Oklahoma or somewhere, and I thought, God, I preach a lot about eternity and I preach a lot about men being ready, and that's all well and good. But sometimes, Brother Dale, we need to tell the other side of the story. He not only gives me life, but He gives me life more abundantly. I'm telling you what, I'm living a joyful life. I'm so thankful. You see, the world has to go to outward trappings and outward things that they can buy to try to find happiness. But thank God, we can come to a church service. We may not have nothing really to put in the plate when they pass the offering plate, but God can come down out of heaven and give us joy, give us peace, give us hope, give us new life. Something as fresh as the night, Brother Johnson, we got saved. And that's what I like about serving God. Because I've told the story before, but I was in a wreck. I had messed up my life. I hadn't done what a lot of people thought was sin, but I had done the sin of neglect. And I could no longer feel the Spirit of the Lord like I once felt. I read the Scriptures where it said in Psalms 51 and 12, David said, I would return to me the joy of thy salvation, or restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I read that Scripture that day. Popped out to me. That's what I had lost, brother. I'd lost my joy, and I was wanting to get it back. I sat 3/4 of the way back in church one Sunday night, telling God, if I didn't feel your presence tonight, I wasn't coming back no more. See, I was a shouter. See, I was one that Brother Collins called Kindling Wood. Brother Collins was singing a song, and Brother Dale, as God kept telling me to go to the altar, the devil kept saying, God ain't speaking to you. But he was. I said, God, if this is you, let Brother Collins sing one more verse. Guess what he done, Brother Dale? He put his foot guitar down. He grabbed his Bible. The devil said, you've missed it. God no longer loves you. God no longer cares for you. But the devil's always been a liar, and he always will. Brother Collins stepped back from the pulpit, grabbed the microphone that I'm holding right here, start singing one more verse. And God said, it's now or never. And Brother Dale, I stepped out. I tried to find happiness. You know, there's a void out there.
Yeah.
When you're not where you should be with God.
Oh. Darkness.
There's a void. And we try to fill it with everything we can get our little stinking hands on. To try to fill that void and find happiness. But it's just like I talked to a new car dealer the other day. And he said, Brother Mike, he said, let me tell you one thing. He said, after a while, I don't care how pretty and how new it is. It just becomes old transportation with the payment. He said, after a while, the newness wears off. And that's the way the world is. You may get something and say, finally, I'll find happiness. But there is no true happiness until you find Jesus. And I had lost him, Brother Burns. And you've all heard the story. But I'm a storyteller. And this is my story. And this is my experience. And I can tell you, you can have your life turned around in one moment's time if you'll obey the Spirit. And when the Holy Ghost moves upon you, you'll come in haste. Not play around. Say, I'll pray later. You better not. The waters are troubled. It's time to move. You see, I'm like a runner in the starting blocks. I don't come to church and sit in the glory bleachers. I'm telling you, some of y'all, if we could pass out flags. I had a church when I first started pastoring. They didn't know what the word hallelujah and glory to God and praise the Lord was. All they knew, they said, know how to use them. So I preached a message one night and made me up signs. I'd preach while I'm hold up hallelujah. And I said, here's your part in the message. You're going to help me out tonight. And when I hold this up, you're going to repeat the word. Now you can't hardly preach for them saying hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Oh, you know what it is? They got out of the glory breachers and they got down on the field and they decided we're going to participate and we're going to have church because God not only came to bless those that are behind the pulpit, but we're all children of God and this is the house of prayer and we're here to get one mind and one accord and worship God.
Glory.
Brother Paul, you may have been here, you may not have. Some of these members in this church I love, every one of you, I should say that. Better talk fast, Brother Mike. I came to the altar before, but I didn't move in haste. And I came too late. After the Spirit had done dealt with me, I'd find myself in the altar trying to pray this thing through, get back my joy, get back my desire to really want to just seek God and see His fullness. But that night when the Holy Ghost spoke, there had been some people before leaned over to my grandma and said, bless his heart, he's going with the sinners to pray. He just must have not heard what the preacher said. I heard what the preacher said. I didn't care whether they labeled me a murderer or a sinner or what they labeled me. I was just wanting to get back my joy. But that one night, nobody else maybe felt what I felt. But God, the personal Savior, Jesus Christ, was dealing with my heart. He was reaching out, and it was time for me to move. And as I made my way to that altar, I can remember the deacon that sat up there, the older ones, that helped pray me through when I got saved. And I don't know who all they was. I wasn't looking. I couldn't do nothing but bawl and squall. When I turned this curve right here, my arm was shaking so much. You've all heard the story. But don't you love hearing it again? Hallelujah, because I'm feeling the glory of God once again. I felt the power of God so strong. I couldn't hold my arm still. The Lord, I hadn't felt in much. He was right there all the time. But you see, I was wanting God to meet me back in the pew, and God wanted me to humble myself. Those boys didn't wait for Jesus to be brought out to the field. They had to come to where Jesus was. And sometimes the Lord's just waiting for us to move out. It may be in a cornfield, Brother Dale. It may be in the woods. I've prayed in both places before. Yes, you can feel God. But I'm telling you, sometimes God just making an example out of you. And I got up, Sister Robbins, holding my heart, hit the altar up there, shaking all over. I heard all the deacons all around me. And finally, my good old brother that helped me pray when I prayed for the Holy Ghost so hard. He said, Mike, throw them big old arms up. God still loves you. And worship God. When I did, I can't tell you what happened next. But I got the joy back. I got the victory back. I found what I was looking for. You know, they asked Gypsy Smith, how in the world Brother Collins, I got to reading on him, and I may have said this the last time I preached, I don't know. Mark called to preach when he was 17, died on his way to preach when he was 87, and going on another journey, and died at 87, been in the ministry 70 years, and they said, how in the world do you get up there and preach with such zeal, such fire, and such anointing? He said this one thing, because I've never lost the wonder of what God's done for me. We lose the wonder. We lose the wonder. We lose the wonder. You've lost the wonder, or you wouldn't have been on your feet testifying this morning. And you just said, oh, that's pretty normal around the highway anymore. God comes by and moves on Sunday morning a lot. It ain't normal. It ain't normal. Anytime the Lord moves, anytime the Lord comes by, it's because there's been some hungry hearts that's came with haste, and they're wanting to see with their eyes the manifestation of Jesus Christ. There was a man on a train years and years ago, and Mark, every once in a while, he would stick his head to the window. Wonderful! He wasn't saying it quiet. He was shaking everybody around him. And after a while, they'd pass another site. He'd go, wonderful! He'd done that and done that and done that. And finally, some old tired guy that just got off the factory or out of the mine or something, an old tired laborer, all filthy and dirty, just taking his daily train ride back home, grabbed that man around the collar and said, what's so wonderful about everything? Said, we travel this day every day, day in and day out. What's so wonderful about it? He said, I'll tell you what it is. Just a few days ago, I was blind, but the Lord's gave me back my sight. And he said, what is not wonderful to you, and what's commonplace to you, it's wonderful to me. And brothers and sisters, we've looked at this so long. We've heard the story of Jesus so long. We've heard of his life, his suffering, and his death and resurrection so long. When somebody comes in and gets on fire for God, we want to shake them sometimes because what's so wonderful about it?
That's the key.
There were some that asked me the same thing when I first got saved. They said, Brother Mike, you'll calm down after a while. The ones that said that aren't here now. You know why? Because they never got any closer than where they sat and begin to freeze and get cold on the Lord. I grabbed one of my friends this morning. I said, you're sitting too far back. Because when you're sitting so far back, you're on your way out. Instead of on your way up. I wish every one of us would crowd these front pews. I wish we'd ever won. You know some churches that I go to, it's a great custom. When they start their song service and their worship service, the women line along one side, the men line along the other. Some get on the platform, but they all come up there and stand, and most of them they sing out of the book. And you know, I ain't used to that too much, but I get right in there. Let the flag wave high. You know, I get right in there. Hold the fort, for I am coming. I just get right in there and have church. You know why? Because I'm there to have church. I ain't there to preach and tell them some good story. I'm there to get everybody in one mind, one accord, including this old boy, and have church and worship God.
Glory.
It's probably been told better than what I'll tell. But I'll tell the way I read it. Is that all right, Brother Jerry? An eagle got wounded, laying in the barn yard. Farmer felt sorry for him, patched him up. And there he was, the big old eagle, hopping around with all the chickens. He just kept getting stronger and stronger. Finally, one day an eagle flew over and said, hey, there's something a lot taller down here than an old chicken. He come down and swooped down, looked down and realized it was an eagle, let out a squawk, made a few circles around, and started heading back towards the mountains. They said that eagle got to looking. A little bit later on, maybe a day or so, here come that eagle again. He came out of his way, swooped around that barnyard, made a few squawks, whatever an eagle does, fluttered his wings, maybe let a few eagle feathers drop. I don't know what he did, but he got that eagle's attention. That eagle looked up, said, "Hey, that's one of mine. That's one of my kin. That's what I'm supposed to be doing." They said he got a little bit of desire to be like that eagle. And he started flying. And he got up over the barnyard. And he got scared and he come back down and lit. Stayed in that barnyard for about another week. Next time the eagle come by, he swooped down a little bit lower, made an extra circle around that barnyard, squawking as loud as he could. They said this time that eagle looked up. He started flapping his wings and started rising up. He got above that barnyard or the barn's roof and started looking back down, got a little bit nervous. Said he made one swipe around that barnyard and then he headed right into the sun, just like the other eagle, heading to the mountain. They said he never seen him again. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to be where you are tonight. And brothers and sisters, us that's got the victory, that ain't in the storm, we need to come by and encourage the other ones. You may have to go out of your way. Jesus said, "I must go by. I must needs go through Samaria." They said it was out of his way, but he knew there'd be a woman at the well. We have to come by sometimes. Hey, see, Brother Paul, I'm not skinny like you. And everybody, when they was running, always had to look back, see if I was still coming. Mark told the story about running a mile one time. It was a long mile. Everybody was done resting on the bleachers, Mark. But you just kept right on running. Sometimes I've ran when the Holy Ghost has moved on me. And some of the boys we used to play basketball with here in this church, they said, "Brother Mike, I wish you'd move like that on the basketball court." I said, "Well, it's just the anointing, I guess. I just kind of run high-stepping with my eyes wide open and praying nobody a step in the aisle." Praying nobody a step in the aisle. But brothers and sisters, the best thing I like doing when we all get in one mind, one accord. Brother Hyatt said a long time ago, I believe it was Brother Hyatt, or he quoted this. He said, "We're like an army, and we're in lockstep formation, and we're moving forward. And sometimes, I know some fall out by the wayside, but brothers and sisters, the church moves on. And yes, the Lord will go out and leave the 99 and go after that one that's gone astray. And sometimes He uses me and you. But you know what the joy of it is? The church rolls on, and it's our duty to catch up to where the church is going and then fall in our place and go on marching together. You know why? Because we've got Jesus Christ living and abiding in our heart. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth, and I'm going to close, went to pray for a man one time. The man was angry. He didn't know this till later. Before God healed him, the man had to pray through and ask Smith Wigglesworth to forgive him. And ask God to forgive him. But Smith Wigglesworth told everybody when he was going to pray, he said, "We're going to say one word. I don't want to hear nothing of the scriptures quoted, because there's all power in the name of Jesus. And we're going to quote one word." And that's what they did. They just kept quoting Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You know, that really brings it all together, because without Him we are nothing. And can I tell you, we need to get our focus. We've all been seeing all the shines and all the glitter, and I'm thankful that this world's taking a little bit of time out to recognize. They don't really, some of them know that they're recognizing the birth of Jesus, but we know, and they told on the radio the other day, that more people's heart during this time of the season are softened and they've got a spirit of giving. Why? Because God our Creator had a spirit of giving and brought His Son into the world to give Him a ransom for our souls. And I'll tell you, we need to worship Jesus tonight. It's 7:05. We're going to take up prayer requests. The ones that's been real sick, how are they? They're still in bad shape.